Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you like this video, leave a kind comment if you'd be so kind. If you're listening on Spotify, leave us a five-star review. We would really, really appreciate it. Well, today I'm excited to join us from 11 time zones away and all the way around the world, our special guest, Peter Kupis. I still did not pronounce it right. I know. Welcome, Peter. So we're just going to go with it. So
that's fine. Yes. Good to be here.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here, Peter. So you live in the country of Georgia. Always have to give that disclaimer. It's the country of Georgia, not the state of Georgia. And right. So the country of Georgia, and you are involved in apologetics. You have an apologetics ministry, and you really work all the way around the world. You're from Canada, but you live in Georgia now. You have a degree from Talbot School Theology, and an MA in history and philosophy of science from University of Toronto. So you've been very well educated here in the US and Canada. You do ministry and apologetics around the world. And I really appreciate getting to know you the last few years. We mostly interact online, but I see you interact with a great deal of just deep thought and engagement and being able to apply biblical truth and apologetics to every culture around the world. And that's one thing I've appreciated about you. Sometimes here in the US, we get kind of caught up in the American paradigm, and we muddle Christianity with American politics. And I understand that. I sometimes talk about political issues too, but you have a bigger, I think, vision of the gospel than so many of us have, because it's not watered down or tethered to just American Christianity.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm kind of on the outside. I'm a dual Czech Canadian citizen, but born and raised in Canada. And so I kind of, you know, like you said, living in the country, Georgia, I'm able to kind of peer into the US and kind of see what's going on. And there's things that are great and maybe some things that aren't always so good. But one thing I'll give Americans, it's always exciting, at least the last few years. It's not boring. So that's kind
of keep
fun.
The rest of the world on their toes.
Yeah, that's true.
Wondering what's going to happen next. Yep. Yep, absolutely. Well, the reason why I wanted to have Peter on is because he has a really incredible resource for walking alongside our kids and teaching our kids, especially like in the teenage years. And, you know, obviously Peter sees the need to teach our kids apologetics, to help them understand the biblical worldview on what is going on in the world around us. And so we're going to talk about his resource called Dinner School. But first, I want to get a little more insight, Peter. Like, what are your observations in the world when it comes to sexuality issues? Obviously, that's the main area of my ministry, is LGBTQ issues. I see you engaging a lot online when it comes to LGBTQ issues. You know, we have our American understanding of what's happening in sexuality issues, and so much that, again, gets muddled with just the political side of it. What do you see happening in the world? What is the climate in the world when it comes to transgenderism and homosexuality and same-sex marriage and this, you know, just identity of I'm just born this way, this is who I have to be? What are you seeing and experiencing?
Yeah, well, one thing I've certainly seen in the past few decades since the 90s is just how much LGBTQ issues are affecting people all over the world, and even in places you wouldn't expect, and certainly in the church amongst Christian youth. I've had the privilege of being able to like speak in different churches and Christian schools in different parts of the world. And I remember being in Jakarta, Indonesia, speaking in some Christian schools there and doing a session for parents. And at this session for parents, there was a few teens or youth, I think two or three teenage girls that were there that came with their moms. I remember afterwards talking to one of those teen girls. She came up to talk to me and my wife. And I had spoken a little bit about the need to kind of help youth to think through this issue and be able to get some of the wisdom that like your channel, your podcast, your ministry provides, because a lot of churches, a lot of youth groups don't address this kind of thing. And I remember her saying to us that she knows some of the daughters of the moms that were in the audience because she's friends with them. She no longer went to that school, but she had gone to that school and she was still friends with some of the girls that went to that school and their moms were there. She said she was in conversation with them and she knew this was an issue that these daughters were struggling with, but their moms didn't know because they weren't telling their moms. And it was just kind of underscoring just how much young people need to have the kind of voice that, say, your ministry provides and other ministries like Christopher Ewan and Rosaria Butterfield and other people, because so many young people struggle with that kind of issue. They don't know how to think about it. And it's really, see, apologetics used to be about showing that the gospel is true. And that's still really important. But what a lot of apologists have woken up to in the last, you know, 2-3 decades is that for a lot of young people, they don't care whether it's true because they're being told over and over again that Christianity is evil, that it's bad, it's homophobic, it's transphobic, it's misogynistic and all that kind of stuff. So that is something we really need to be able to address. How is it that we can hold fast to a Christian worldview but not be labeled hateful, bigoted, intolerant, and all of those sort of things? And that's why I think it's great for parents to hear testimonies of people who struggle with this issue, people like you and other Christians who are faithful to the scriptures, who have struggled with this issue, but held fast to the word of God. Because the world around us is constantly presenting two options to our youth. You're either loving, kind, gentle, winsome, and then you reject biblical morality and embrace everything that LGBT advocates want us to embrace. Or you're faithful to the word of God and to Christian sexual ethics, but then you're a hateful, nasty, bigoted person. And those are the two options. And when young people get presented those two options over and over again, they a lot of times just say, well, I don't want to be a hateful, nasty person. So I'm just going to reject the Bible and the gospel because I want people to like me. And we really need to be showing them this third option, that you can be loving, kind, compassionate, and hold fast to what the Bible says and to Christian morality, to sexual morality, right? And we really need to show people that third option is what it really means to follow Jesus, right? That's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and one of the key things I heard you say in there is that all these kids are struggling and the parents don't know about it. And so I think that's one of the biggest issues these days is disconnect between kids and their parents and parents maybe telling their kids a lot of the right things, but they don't actually know what's going on in their kids' hearts. And their kids are kind of secretly changing worldviews and developing a completely different worldview that the parents are just completely unaware of.
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, a lot of parents Christian parents try to instill the Bible's teaching into their teens and to their kids. But these teens are constantly getting messages from the world around them, pointing them in a different direction. You know, we talked about LGBT issues, but there's so many other issues too as well, right? There's everything from God does not exist to our Muslim friends saying that the Bible has been changed to, you know, just that the whole idea of us having a soul is a silly, superstitious idea, to, you know, so many other things like the Bible is a book of fairy tales or whatever it might be, or the doctrine of the Trinity is just confusing and doesn't make sense. There's all these different messages that can come from the world around us. And especially if young people go off to university, they're sometimes faced for the first time in their lives with a whole bunch of smart people who either don't believe the gospel is true and actively speak against it, or at best just think it's irrelevant and outdated and don't incorporate as part of their lives. And so they're just unprepared for all of these kinds of things. And parents might be well-meaning. They may be took them to church, studied the Bible with them, all these things. But the teens are just defenseless against all of these attacks and ideas that are coming from the world around them.
Absolutely. And so you developed a resource for parents called Dinner School. And so tell us about Dinner School. What is this? How did you get started with it? What is the premise behind it?
Yeah, well, for a long time, Anna, my wife, and I, we've been doing some ministry together, traveling different parts of the world. Like I mentioned, Indonesia, I've been in Brazil before, in Europe, in Cambodia, Korea, and a lot of places, and of course the US and Canada too as well. A lot of times parents would be telling us about how their young people grew up and grew up going to church, youth group, and decided to reject faith in Jesus. And so I am aware there's different issues and different factors, but at least one of them, the factors has been what the world around us is speaking to them. And so I was once doing a talk, and I was doing it with Anna, saying, you know, parents, you need to kind of be preparing your youth for this. Here's some podcasts you should be listening to. I think I was recommending your podcast as one of them, and here's some books or conferences. And so I was doing all that, but it occurred to me that, like, it's not easy for parents to figure out which podcasts to show their kids, sift through all of them, decide which one to use, and be able to carve out, you know, an hour or two every day or every week to be able to go through this with their teens. And they might find a YouTube with shorts on it, but, you know, the algorithm is showing all kinds of different random stuff. And so it's not that easy for parents to be able to do all of that. And it occurred to me that they could use some more help. So I kind of got the idea slowly over time, but really kind of got solidified in my mind around spring of last year, around April 2025. And the idea is to make an app and a website that would provide parents the opportunity to disciple and evangelize their teens on a regular basis. And what it would consist of is a short video that's like 1 or 2 minutes long. That's what people, especially young people, like. You know, we're in a world of YouTube shorts and TikTok and stuff like that. So short. So it's 1 or 2 minutes long. And then afterwards, there's a few comprehension questions that are simple. There's usually about 2 or 3 of them. They're usually multiple choice, true, false, just checking to see if their teen got the basic idea from the video. And then there's a few discussion questions at the end that parents can discuss with their teenage kids. And the idea is this gives parents the opportunity to share their thoughts on these issues, because their teens are getting so many ideas from the world around them. They can hear solid Christian scholars and Christian thought on these issues, but then they can also speak into their youngster's voice and share what they think about that issue. And so the idea is parents use this on a regular basis. It doesn't have to be every day, but I suggest doing it several times a week, or at least once a week doing a few of them, so that their youngsters can develop a Christian worldview, realize good reasons to believe the gospel is true, think through so many of the messages that the world around them is giving them, and thereby help their teen become convicted that the gospel is objectively true, not just subjectively true, because a lot of times the world around us says it's true, but just true for you. If you want that, you need that, it helps you, right? So I want to develop this conviction that this is an objective truth.
That's awesome. And so it's a short video and some questions, and it's made to just be used around the dinner table. That's why it's called Dinner School. And and I love that, because it's like, there's so much information out there. And like you said, there's so many different podcasts. It's like, how are you supposed to wade through, you know, all these podcasts, and they're all an hour long, sometimes more, and then, you know, pick out parts that are useful for your teenager. And so you've done that work of, you've created the content that is short and concise and what our kids need right now to develop a biblical worldview. And so what I love about it is that it's not just like giving them information, but around the dinner table is like family discipleship and discussion. And so you can talk about the content and ask the questions, but then also just use it for discipleship of, like, you know, what do you think about that? What's going on in your heart? What do you hear at school about this and these issues? And what's the world telling you? And just you know, then it's, you can have as much conversation about it with your kids as you want, as you just invest in them.
Right. Exactly. It gives parents that opportunity to have those conversations. And I think I heard one parent say that they don't have to feel like they're, you know, being too, you know, a lot of times you ask teens, how was your day? Or what do you think about this? They're just like, oh, fine or whatever. Right. But they feel like, well, it's not them asking them. I'm asking the question. Right. So it's a little bit less like their parents are interrogating them. And it's more like they're answering this together. Right. So I think it provides that.
And then the parents can be learning too together. Right. I've no doubt with some of these topics that the parents need to be hearing and learning and engaging in these topics too.
Right. And that's, you know, some parents are worried that they're not going to know how to answer their teens' questions. And I remember sharing about dinner school with pastors in California last year. A lot of them were very enthusiastic. But one of the things they were concerned about is, you know, some parents feel intimidated by doing this because they're like, what if I don't know how to answer my teens' questions? And I think parents don't need to be worried about that because, one, teens eventually realize their parents don't know everything, right? When your kids are little, you know everything because they don't ask very difficult questions. But as they become teens, they realize there's things you don't know. And so I think it's just good for parents to admit that they don't know everything. And then parents can also tell their teens, like, look, I'm learning with you. Some things they're going to know about and some things they're not going to know about. And if they just keep using dinner school, I think more and more of their questions are going to be answered. But they can also, if something comes up, they can maybe ask their pastor. Maybe somebody at church knows about this more. They can look it up online. Lots of people like to ask AI these days, so they can do that. Of course, I think you have to be careful, of course, whenever you look up stuff online or AI, sometimes it's biased away from a Christian worldview. So, you know, you got to be aware of that. But sometimes you can ask AI, how would a Christian scholar, a conservative Christian scholar or a Christian apologist answer this issue? And then they can kind of see that perspective, you know, and get a little bit, maybe a little bit better answer that.
I see. Awesome. So this is relatively new. How many different like lessons, video episodes with lessons do you have out there right now?
Yeah, we launched it just last September. And so it's still, you know, in development. I think it's in a good place, but it's certainly going to get better. We have about 100 or so episodes. And so they're divided into two kind of courses, you could say. There's the Welcome series, which consists of about 10 lessons. And then another Dinner School 101, I'm calling it now, and it has maybe 80, 90 lessons in it. And so when I say lessons, it consists of the video, the comprehension questions, and the discussion questions. The whole thing can get finished in less than 5 minutes. So 100 might sound like a lot, but I think families should try to do this 3, 4, 5 times a week. And so you can get through that fairly quickly. My goal eventually is to have about 1,000 episodes, so that families can do about 200 a year and then start from ages 13, go to ages 17. So that's 5 years, do about 200 a year. And then you've got about 1,000 episodes in there that they can cover during that time on a whole range of different issues.
That's really awesome. That is awesome. And I love the fact that it's like the parents engaging with the kids together. And I think that adds a different element that other resources just don't have, is that it's equipping the parents to engage these conversations with the kids. And it's like 5 minutes over dinner, and what a great time to have a deep discussion and everyday learn.
I should also add though, we call it dinner school because I'm thinking the ideal time is during dinner, but it could be before dinner.
Oh, yeah.
It could be after dinner.
Yeah.
And it could
be. You don't have to. Like, Peter isn't going to come slap you if you don't do it over dinner, if you do it lunch instead, after school, or at obviously any point through your day.
Yeah, right. Like, I know a gentleman in Australia, he does it with his daughter and his wife during breakfast. But I think people could do it, like, maybe you're driving the kids to school every day. You do it on the drive to school. Or maybe it's on the way to and from church. You know, you've got maybe 20 minutes on the way there, 20 minutes back. You could go through 2 episodes there, 2 episodes on the way home too, right? Whatever works for a family. But I think it's good to attach it to something that families do regularly, so you don't have to carve out a new time. And it helps you to remember to keep doing it, because the key is consistency. if you just start, if a family starts to do it, does it for like a week or two, it's going to help a little bit, but it's not going to make nearly as much of a difference as if they're doing it regularly through the whole teenage years while the teen's at home, right?
Yep, that's awesome. And you are developing an app for it. And so, or is the app already out?
So the Android app is out, but the Apple app is on the verge. We've submitted to Apple. We're just waiting for their approval. Maybe by the time you post this up online, it will be available, but it's almost there.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. How has it been effective so far? What response have you gotten from pastors, from parents? How do you see the Lord using this in families' lives?
Yeah, well, I've been very encouraged by, especially how much pastors have responded. Well, parents too, but I was doing a trip to California last year. And, you know, whenever you launch something, I'm sure you've had this before, like you get excited about something in life. You think it's going to be great. It's going to be the best thing since, you know, the invention of, sliced bread or whatever it is. And, you know, then you put it out there and other people are like, yeah. Okay. So you never know when you launch something, if it's slower, like that.
Sometimes much slower to launch than you have anticipated.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just an important thing for you. You expect to be as just important for everyone else. And then it's not.
Yeah. Not everybody. But so now we're not having thousands of people sign up a day. But I have had, like, especially from pastors, a lot of enthusiasm about it. Like, they recognize there's a huge need for this. And when I was in California last year for a few weeks, I was getting all kinds of referrals from one pastor to another pastor to, like, a gathering of pastors to then refer me to another pastor and so on, because they know how many young people are growing up in churches and rejecting their parents' faith, right? And parents are also enthusiastic, but I think for a lot of parents, the reality, and I knew this when I launched it, if some parents are in the habit of doing family devotions. So I find that parents or families that are in the habit of doing this find it very easy to start using Dinner School because they are used to carving out that time with the family. But other parents aren't necessarily in the habit of doing this. And so it's like, I think it's like when dentists started to tell people to brush their teeth. It doesn't take a long time. It makes a huge difference in the health of your teeth. But it just, a lot of people are like, they would hear from a dentist, oh, you should brush your teeth. And then they're like, okay, maybe they'll do it for a little while. Then they get busy and they just don't make it a regular habit. And dentists told people, you have to do this. And they says over and over again for decades before, and like maybe even you could say a century before people really started to brush their teeth every day. So I know it's also just going to take time for me to repeat this. Absolutely. And be on podcasts like yours before families, I think, really appreciate just how important it is to do. If they're not using the tool that our ministry is producing, maybe there's some other tool, but to help good teens know what the gospel is and know why it's true. That's what Dinner School is about, to help them appreciate that this is really true.
Absolutely. And I think all of us families struggle to figure out discipleship, right? And carving time into our schedules for discipleship. And so I think it's awesome. Like, this is a small step to develop a habit of discipleship with our kids with a tool that makes it really, really easy and accessible.
Yeah, exactly right. You have to make that time and just realize, like, a lot of parents, they want their kids to thrive in life. And so they will tell them, do your homework. They'll spend a lot of money to send them to maybe a private school. They'll send them to a Christian school and pay a lot of money for that because they realize that their academic success matters in life and they want to help them accept faith in Jesus by maybe sending them to a Christian school or taking them to church. And those are all great things. But a lot of times, churches, Christian schools don't actually deal with LGBT issues that you do with. I'm sure you're very aware of that, right? And so there's this big gaping hole in many young people's lives, and they don't often do much in the realm of apologetics. If they do it, maybe it's not done well. Sometimes it's just because, you know, like a youth pastor, there's so many things to cover. I know from studying these issues for decades now, it's tough to address them well in a sophisticated but understandable manner, right? And then maybe they're able to address these things, but they're only able to do it just briefly because there's so many other things to cover. So this, that's why I think it's so important for parents to do this type of thing together.
And no amount of time with, you know, a youth group and Christian school or whatever replaces discipleship from parents. Like parents are the, should be the primary source of discipleship of their kids. And so, and navigating, shepherding what's going on in your child's heart. And so this is a way of doing that while applying some very robust apologetics and some deep truth.
Right, exactly. Yeah. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says that fathers should not exasperate their children, but bring them up in the wisdom and instruction of the Lord. And it doesn't say, you know, parents, take your kids to Sunday school or the church youth group or something like that. And all those things are good, and they might be indirect ways of doing it, but scripture places the instruction or the burden on parents themselves to do this, right? And I think parents need to do that. And First Peter 3:15, it says to always be ready to make a defense for the hope that is in you. And I think that applies to parents with their kids too, as well. We parents should be providing their teens with good reasons to believe. And I know in this day and age, it's hard for parents to do that because there's so many issues out there, but that's where this kind of tool can really facilitate that type of thing.
Absolutely. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Peter. I think that this is going to be a great resource for parents. So I encourage all the parents to listen, check it out. Where can we find it? What's your website or what can they search for in their app store?
Yeah. So the website is dinnerschool.org. So just the word dinner and school together with no space or nothing between them, .org. And then if you go to the Android App Store, and this should be on the iOS Apple Play or Apple Store soon too as well, you just search for Dinner School, two separate words. You'll probably see some other apps about cooking and stuff like that. So that's not us. Mm-hmm. But if you go to, you'll see our symbol there, our logo, which is also on the dinnerschool.org website too. So if you find that there, maybe you can put some links underneath the show notes and that way.
Yep. We'll add some links underneath the show notes so people can find that easily.
Great.
So
great.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I have no doubt that God is using this. And, you know, one of the biggest questions I get from parents is like, how do I disciple my kids? How do I invest in my kids? How do I help my kids navigate the world we live in? And so here you go, parents. Here is a great tool to help you do that. So thank you so much, Peter, for just your dedication to ministry and to building God's kingdom and equipping the body of Christ. God is using it, and thankful to partner together. And I appreciate your friendship and all the work that you're doing.
Thanks, Brady. And I pray also for your ministry. It's doing a lot of good stuff, and I pray that God uses you. We need a lot more voices like yours out there.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you. All right. So everyone, check out dinnerschool.org. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Calibrate Conversations. Pray that it's useful and it impacts your family. Make sure you go to calibrateministries.com for more resources and podcast episodes. Again, we appreciate the good reviews, and share with your friends. These are important topics that we're talking about. So share with your friends. We really, really appreciate it. All right. Thank you. Thank you.